And welcome to Beyond Damascus. My name is Aaron Richards, and I'm joined here in studio by
Dan Demite.
And Beyond Damascus is the show where encounter meets mission. Just like St. Paul encountered the Lord powerfully on the road to Damascus, and he was transformed there. And he was ultimately brought to Damascus and charged with a life of mission, with a life of responding to God's call in powerful and impactful ways. And so too here, we love to hear the stories of individuals who, through a regular, everyday, that through a powerful encounter with Jesus, have been charged with a consistent and everyday call to mission. So Beyond Damascus is a co-production of St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio. It's carried across the global EWTN Radio network. And I am so excited for this show. I'm stumbling over my words, friends.
let's open in prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good and gracious God, you are amazing. We just pray that you would work in wonder and power in the church again today, Lord. I pray that you would renew your wonders, that you would open the heavens from above and allow the blessings of heaven to fall upon your church, Lord. Amen. That we would live richly in the inheritance that we have received as sons and daughters.
Amen.
We pray this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. All right, Aaron. So we want to talk today about like the call to mission and our missionary impulse. It's an exciting time in the church right now. We are celebrating the month of missionaries.
Yes. Regardless of when you're listening to this show, it's the month of missionaries.
Exactly. I mean,
come on.
I know. It is kind of funny that we have like a month of missionaries as if like every month isn't a missionary month.
Yeah. No, it's pretty cool. So we, as you may or may not know, if you're a listener of the show, so Dan and I work every day as co-directors out at a mission campus called Damascus here in Central Ohio. And we live in the midst of a missionary community who is focused on giving their lives in response to the Lord's call to live life on mission. And we as a community were blessed and affirmed to hear that Pope Francis recently named this month the month of the extraordinary response to mission. So that is those among us who realize that our missionary call isn't, don't be offended by that, it isn't just something that we live out in the midst of our everyday life, but it's our missionary call is something that should transform our lifestyle, right?
Absolutely. It's actually our spiritual DNA as baptized sons and daughters that I was baptized into the mission of Jesus.
Yeah.
And that every single one of us, no matter who we are or what we do, we're called to full-time ministry. So we just, a full-time ministry looks different for different people, but we're all like 100% of our day is dedicated towards the mission of Jesus.
Amen.
And bringing people into a relationship with him. You know, our ministry community, missionary community at Damascus, we have a way of life that we like to live. And one of our staples of our way of life is we say we like to be mission focused.
Yeah.
That we want to be focused, not just like, not allowing just the mission of Christ to be something that's an accessory to our life, but that we'd be mission focused, that we would make decisions in our lives, both large decisions and small everyday decisions, based off of the missionary activity that we're called to, uh-huh, to live. And I think that focus has to, it's something that when you wake up, it's very easy to go through our day. It's very easy to go to the grocery store. It's easy to go to work. It's easy to go through the everyday actions of life without being focused on the mission of Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And just saying like, Lord, I want my everyday thought to be directed towards the mission of bringing people into a relationship with you. And just how powerful that is. Like,
mm-hmm,
I think about like when I go to Walmart and I'm like mission focused, it's a totally different experience than when I just go to Walmart, you know, like, because I can just go and just be like grocery focused or task oriented, task focused. But when I'm mission focused, I'm so focused on people and I'm focused on conversations that are strategically leading people into a relationship with Jesus. I'm focused on sharing life, sharing love, sharing joy. And I'm the best version of me when I'm mission focused.
Amen.
But when I'm not, I just kind of let life happen.
Yeah.
And I'm not living life intentionally.
Yeah.
You know, it just kind of, and the worst thing is I'm not loving people intentionally.
Yeah.
Which is sad.
At Damascus, we call it, it's a part of our missionary mindset. It's almost like an examination of faith that an examination of our life, rather, that we will, that we hold ourselves to every day, that we realize that if I'm not living my life according to the missionary call that God's placed on me, then I'm not going to be who I'm called to be. I'm not going to be the best version of myself. I'm not going to be the best husband, best father, best boss, best coworker, best friend.
Yeah. We just got home from France, Aaron and I. We were participating and helping out with a conference called the Mission Congress.
Yeah.
In Europe, they call their conferences congresses,
and
right?
It's awesome.
And I just love it because the whole conference was just dedicated towards becoming missionary.
Yeah.
And that the idea, I think, like, right now everyone's like on this like cutting edge phrase of like, we're missionary disciples, and it's like something that's becoming popular in the church, which is awesome. Like, it's a great phrase, and we should have the mindset of being missionary disciples. But this conference was just really dedicated to saying like, hey, we want anyone who wants to grow in being a missionary, come to this. And they had close to 20 bishops there. They had 300 priests. They had 6,000 lay people, and they were just hungry to grow in the missionary impulse and the missionary call of the gospel.
Yeah. So we thought we'd kick off the show today by sharing some of the highlights that we experienced at the Mission Congress, and then got a special treat. One of the young women who participated in the Mission Congress this year has agreed to join us for an interview all the way from Paris. It'll be great. She's just an absolute sweetheart, and you will love to hear her story. She speaks with such humility, and she is part of a community in Paris that even in the midst of really cultural challenge, you know, cultural desolation in terms of Christian faith, who's living her call out loud.
Yeah. You know, I think sometimes we hear the word missionary and we're like, well, how do I become one of those? Or what do I have to do? Or I'm not one of those because I'm not in Asia, you know, if I wanted to be a great like football player, but I never identified with being a football player, I probably wouldn't be a very good football player, right?
Yeah.
I'd have to wake up and say like, I'm a football player. Like,
yeah.
And I think if I start identifying myself as a missionary, like, and I believe, so it's not like you have to like sign up to be a missionary. You're baptized, right?
Yeah.
You've already signed up. But to start identifying with that, I am a missionary in my workplace. I am a missionary in America. I am a missionary when I go to the grocery store, that this is who I am as a Christian.
Yep.
And that I think just even the idea of having this Mission Congress, what was so powerful is that you had 6,000 people gathered that simply wanted to say, I want to be a missionary to the country of France.
Yeah.
And I'm not going after, the goal was to revive the parishes in France, but they also, I noticed that when they talk about evangelization there, I feel like so often when we talk about evangelization here in America, we're talking about the new evangelization of like evangelizing Catholics. But they're just like, we're going to go out on the streets and just evangelize.
Yep.
Like, we don't care if we're talking to believers, unbelievers. We don't care if we're talking to Catholics, Protestants, atheists. So we're just going to go out and share the gospel on the streets. And there's something powerful about saying like, hey, I'm not going to only evangelize people that I think will accept me. I'm not going to just share the gospel with the people that I know are already Christian. That I'm just going to go and share the gospel with everyone. And I pray to win over as many unbelievers as possible.
Yeah, one of my favorite things to see was, I think sometimes in America we can use our church family kind of as an excuse for no reason not to evangelize, right?
Oh yeah.
That you know, my parish is just an older community, right? Or we don't have as exciting music that's going to charge people and want them to be here. And it was really neat walking into these ancient cathedrals, right? The Congress was actually held in a church called Saint Sulpice, and one of the biggest churches in France. And to see that the church in France has realized, like, hey, we're in dire straits here. It's time for us to say yes and to embrace this call. Man, there's nothing like having a gathering of 6,000 young people claiming their missionary identity in the midst of one of the oldest cathedrals in Europe. It was a pretty cool experience.
But
never let it be said that you know, I'm going to let my parish, I'm going to let my church building, I'm going to let my church music, whatever the case may be, be the limiting factor to my invitation of others to join in a relationship with Jesus.
Amen. That's so exciting. So we are going, you know, Aaron, I think we just have to declare who we are, right?
All right.
That, like, I just want to be like, no matter where you are, who you are, what you're doing, I want you just to yell the words, I am missionary right now, that I am a missionary. Okay, so I'm going to do it. 1, 2, 3.
I am a missionary.
Yes. Woo. I hope you just yelled that in your car while doing the dishes with your children. And just wake up every morning and say, I am a missionary. Like the Jesus Christ, I love in Pope Francis's apostolic exhortation, the joy of the gospel.
Yep.
One of my favorite sentence in the entire thing. It's three words. It says, "I am mission." Period. And like, what if you like woke up in the morning and said, "Today,
oh man,
I am
that's a good one.
Mission."
I'm
going right?
to try that tomorrow.
Like, I am mission, and today, like that is what I that's who I am, and that's why I live. That I am I'm so loved by God the Father, and I've experienced God's love so much that I can't help but share that with others. So, brothers and sisters, we're so grateful for you listening. Thank you for joining in. You are listening to Beyond Damascus, a co-production of St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. When we come back, you're going to hear the life-changing testimony of an ordinary young woman who encountered the power of Jesus Christ in prayer and then experienced his love poured out through an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and it led her into a missionary impulse to go and share the good news with others and just bring Jesus into the world to anyone who will listen.
Thank you for joining us.
We will be right back in just one moment.
He is honored by the church as a saint with the title of the Angelic Doctor.
Matthew Bunsen and the Doctors of the Church.
St. Thomas Aquinas wrote a basic textbook for young theology students that became the church's most famous and comprehensive guide to the faith, the Summa Theologica. It is still read today and helped earn him the title Doctor of the Church. He died in 1274.
For more about the Doctors of the Church, visit doctorsofthechurch.com.
Hello, Journey Home family. Next time, we'll welcome Toby Cook to the program. Toby is a former Lutheran and will share what led him to embrace the Catholic faith. Share the journey next time on EWTN's The Journey Home.
The Journey Home with Marcus Grodi is seen and heard around the world on EWTN. Join us Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on EWTN Radio and Television.
All right, and welcome back to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. I'm Aaron Richards, and he's Dan Demetek.
There you go. That's one way to put it.
And we're so excited to have you back for this segment of the show. Like we said before the break, we've got an awesome interview for you today. Now, typically we have, I don't know, members from our local community here in Columbus or even friends that we meet in our travels all the way across the country. This is we have a special guest today. As we said earlier, Dan and I had a special opportunity to be present at an event in Paris, France, called the Mission Congress. And you know, as you might be familiar in the United States, when a diocese or even a national conference gathers young people from all around, similar thing happened in Paris. And the Mission Congress, it's a conference of missionaries, and it's a conference about the missionary call. And we met some awesome young people there who are just living this call in powerful ways. And one of the young women that we were connected with, her name is Marie, and she'll be joining us today. So without further ado, let's welcome Marie. Marie, welcome to the show.
Woo! Yeah! Hello, hello!
Thanks so much for joining us today, all the way
from France.
Paris, France. So Marie, yeah. You know, we're filming this show here in the afternoon in Ohio, and in Paris it is... What time? It's
8 at night.
It's 8 o'clock. Wow. You're so good.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for loving us and working with us today. Good. So Marie, I'm so excited to hear your story because you're a university student in Paris, correct?
Yeah, I am.
Yeah. And the work that you're, so you were sharing with me earlier that the call that God's placed on your heart, even now as a university student in Paris. And Marie, I think that just for the benefit of our audience, so many times when we think about our parish life or our university faith life here in the United States of America, we see lots of problems. We see lots of opportunities for growth. We see lots of need for the life that we call the new evangelization, right? To be able to bring people back to relationship with Jesus in a powerful way. And
right.
I think many times when we think of the church in Europe, we think of a church that is dead and struggling. And what was really profound to me and to Dan was in our visit to the Mission Congress in Paris, that we encountered 5,000 young people who were powerfully committed to evangelization and who were powerfully Amen. Committed to living out their faith. And you, my friend, are one of those. And, you know, Marie, I'm going to invite you to share your testimony. And toward the end of your testimony, we'll jump into a lot of the amazing ways that you're living out your faith actively and intentionally now on campus and in your city. But thank you so much for the work that you're doing. Thank you so much for the way that you're pursuing the Lord and how you are seeking to save the lost. We're blessed to have you here. Are you ready to share?
Yeah, I am.
All right. So Marie, why don't you kick off by, how old are you, Marie?
I'm 18. I'm going to be 19 in November.
Okay.
Like in 1 month.
That's fantastic. And when I was in Paris, I met your brother and we prayed together in the crypt of the seminary yeah. that we were staying in. And it was such a powerful, awesome time of worship. So way to go. The Lord must be working powerfully in your family. And I think that probably plays into your story a little bit. So Marie, why don't you start with just telling us, you know, as a child, before you encountered the Lord powerfully and were charged on mission as a student, what was your faith life like growing up?
Well, I grew up in a Catholic family. I am the fourth of seven children. And well, we were going to church every Sunday, and I was just used to do it, and I wasn't really thinking about what I was doing. I was just going, you know?
Yeah.
At one point in my life, I was thinking, well, why am I doing this? And I started to, like, going away from the Lord, like, you know, around the age of, let's say, 15, 16.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, I just didn't know what I was doing. I never met the Lord. I didn't know what was His love for me. But like one thing that really helped me was like my parents like love to have like priests around us, and so I knew a lot of priests like in my life. Like
yep.
We have a lot of friends who are priests. And my older brother started to go to like praising events. Like he met the Catholic Renewal. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
When I say
yep.
Catholic Renewal, like, you know, when we had like before we had like this space, you know, and like we you know this this movement that started to like ask the Holy Spirit to come and help us through our life, you know. And he started to go like to praising groups, like with you know, people dancing and singing for the Lord. And this is something that I was not used to, you know.
Yeah.
I was just like, what is going on here? But at the same time, I was thinking like, there is something powerful happening here.
Yep.
Then I actually went to the U.S. last year. I went to study in Missouri, and I was away from my family and what I knew, and it was hard for me, and I kind of went away from God, like, more and more.
So you had to come to America to lose your faith.
Well, no,
no,
no, let's not put it that way. But like, I went to the U.S. because there was a great opportunity, and I had good time, and I met like great people. Really,
yeah,
I did
absolutely.
Yeah,
I'm only joking.
I told my, I guess I went away from God just because I was away from my family and what I knew.
Yeah,
you know, just because of that.
And then you received a call from your brother, right?
Yeah, and I told him about all of that, and I was like, you know, like I feel that you did met God because you have this joy in you. And well, I don't have that, and it's so hard for me, like, to stay, like, Catholic and close from God, being away and all of that. And he told me, well, I'm going to do this trip to Medjugorje. It's a place in Bosnia-Herzegovina in Europe where the Virgin Mary, like, appear, like that's what you said, appearing.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
An apparition.
And she does, like, give messages every month. And she asks people to pray. And she beautiful thing happened there. You know how we say that we can meet the Lord.
Yeah.
From the Virgin Mary, because she does know her son, and she knows how to make us meet her son.
Yeah. So your brother invited you to come with him to Medjugorje.
Yeah. And I did go to Medjugorje in July. When I went there, I was just like, okay, I don't know what could happen. I'm just going to come and see, and I don't want to expect anything from that because I don't know. I did want to live this time in Medjugorje deeply, and I did go to church like every day, and I did go to confession every day. Because that's one of the blessings of Medjugorje. You can like go and confess every day, and every day it's different, and it's greater. At one point we asked the Holy Spirit to give us a message from, so you know how so there is this book where there are all the messages from the Virgin Mary since
yep.
the beginning.
Yeah.
And we pray the Holy Spirit so they can give us like a message like for us. So the Virgin Mary always starts her messages with "Dear children," something like this,
uh-huh.
And she at the end she says like "Thank you for answering to my call," something like she thanked us, you know. So he was like, "Dear Marie Emily, you will meet the Lord on the day of the Saint Jacques, and you will." Receive a lot of blessings. That's what my message was.
Though that's amazing. So I don't want our listeners to miss that opportunity. So in prayer, you asked the Holy Spirit to speak, and you actually received a message in prayer from Our Lady.
Yeah. And
your humility is amazing, Mary.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Praise the Lord. And I'm guessing when Jesus's mama told you that you were going to meet him on that day, I bet you did.
Yeah, I really did. And it was just surprising how right it was, you know, like on the day of, like, she told me I was going to meet the Lord. She, like, we had this, it was a fasting day, you know, where you don't eat at all.
Yep.
Like just
yep.
bread and water.
Yep.
Yeah. So we did this, and we also went for a walk, on the Friday before Easter, you have this time of prayer with each, like, step of like the Lord had before
Stations of the Cross?
He was crucified.
Yes, yeah, we call it the Stations of the Cross.
Yeah, there we go. This one.
Yep, yep.
And we did this. We did this, and there was a fasting day. And at night, we had this praising time, and people were praying for each other.
Uh huh.
And there were like two people were praying for me, and I came, and they were like, "Do you want to follow the Lord? Do you want to give everything to the Lord? Do you want to give your life to the Lord?" And I was like, yeah, sure.
Sure, why not?
and they did pray for me, and you know, like they called the Holy Spirit, and they were like, "Come, Holy Spirit, come meet Marie, like,
yeah,
show her how like God is great, and then how He loved her," and He did come to me with you know, like a hot. Like I think you said, like pouring of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, the outpour. So yeah. So in America we use that terminology, the baptism of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, this one, and I did have that, and God showed me how He loved me.
Oh, that's awesome!
Really, like how much He loved me. Even though, like, you know, all my mistakes and everything in my life, like how much He loved me and He died for me and He would do everything for me.
Yeah.
Again and again and ever.
Oh, that's so beautiful.
yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you for sharing that. Wow. Okay. And then what happened from there? So after your time in America, you had grown distant from the Lord a little bit. And when your brother invited you to Medjugorje, you probably didn't anticipate to encounter Him in the way that you did, but.
Yeah, not at all.
But now you're living a life on fire in Paris, in a very secular city. Historically, one of the most important Christian cities in the world. And you're living now as an evangelist in your college campus. So tell us what happened and how your encounter with the Lord charged you, moved you into mission.
Well, it was just like I felt that I had to tell people how God loved them, you know. Because I think like people just don't know that, they just don't believe that, they just think it can be true.
Yep.
And I felt like I'm not alone. I'm with a group of like a friend and like a youth group.
Yep.
Like every Sunday I'm going to a group like with a student who get together to pray the Lord, and it's the kind of group where like you dance, you sing for the Lord, you really like it. It's like really beautiful thing happened there.
Yeah.
And like the important thing is that I am not alone in this. Like I really have people to like help me going through like this. Like they teach me kind of like how I can like use what happened to me. Like how I can make like better and greater with what I had received. You know what I mean?
Amen. Yeah. You were sharing with me earlier that some of the ways that you're evangelizing on your campus is now you're participating and inviting people into those worship meetings.
Yeah, I am.
where you can share where you're sharing your testimony and praying with others that they could receive the Lord in the way that you have. And then tell me about your street evangelization.
Yeah, so I did this for the first time during the Mission Congress, actually. And so we went, like, we were two of us.
Yeah.
And we went just, like, in the street, and we started, like, with praying, like, the Virgin Mary and the Holy Spirit, like, so we can, like, guide us through this time of evangelization. We just went in the street and go and talk to people like, "Hey, you know who is Jesus?"
Mm-hmm.
Just did that way, you know. And some people are surprised, but like usually they want to know more, because like how you said, like in Europe, church might be seen as something like, or dead or annoying. And like, I know it's not the truth. So
yeah,
people are like, they don't expect young people to come to us and tell them that they are Catholic and that they love God and all of that, you know?
Yep.
So they usually listen.
Like, what on earth are you talking about?
Oh, that's awesome. Marie, thank you so much for sharing your story. You know, here we talk, one of the reasons why we have been so convicted of being called to mission is realizing that, you know, in the world today, there's so many people who are leaving the practice of their faith. We've shared those percentages before, right? That 5 out of 6 young people leave the practice of their faith within 10 years of confirmation. But the difference, between those that leave and those that stay is that 89% of the people who stay convicted and committed to their faith have, described some event or experience that pulled them out of their comfort zone and that changed their perspective. And
yeah, it really does.
And one of the awesome things about living in Europe is that you can just drive down the street to Medjugorje, I suppose.
That's right. But what I did, actually, like, we went on like this bus and stuff, and we went from Paris to Medjugorje in bus. It was long, but it was great.
Yeah, me too.
Someday. Man, God bless you, Marie. Thank you so much for the work that you're doing and for the impact that you're having in your university. I was just so excited in hearing from you about the impact that testimony is having. I mean, oh my gosh, so many times I think in the church in America, when we talk about a pilgrimage to Medjugorje, it's something that people would dream about and never experience for themselves. And thank you for saying yes to your brother's invitation. You know, I think back to the story of St. Andrew and St. Peter, right? That when Andrew heard the call of the Lord, he called his brother and he said, come, I found the Lord. And, and praise God that your brother, called you and said, hey, you know what, Marie, I know that these chimes have been challenging for you, but I need you to join me, and that you responded in faith, and let it not go unheard that in your prayer time that Our Lady herself had you covered and delivered that message of promise from the Lord. She's got you covered, Marie. I wonder if you might, we'll let you go here, but I wonder if you might go ahead and just pray for the show, pray for us and pray for our listeners today before we let you go.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Can you pray for us out loud?
Okay. Do you mind if I pray in French? 'Cause it's going to be easier for me.
Oh my gosh. That would be the best thing ever. Thank you.
Okay. Saint-Esprit, voilà, vraiment, viens bénir ces personnes qui m'ont écouté, ces personnes qui m'ont reçu. Merci, Seigneur, de m'avoir offert toutes ces grâces que tu me donnes. Seigneur Jésus, vraiment, je te remercie. Sainte Marie, merci de me reconnaître ton fils. Vraiment, Seigneur, je te confie toutes ces personnes, viens dans leur cœur et viens faire fructifier tout ce que tu m'as donné de leur dire ce soir. Merci, Seigneur. Amen.
Amen. Marie, you are amazing. Thank you so much for sharing this time with us. All right. God bless
you.
I'll talk to you soon. Goodbye.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Yep. Take care. Oh, that's a great testimony, isn't it?
She's
such a sweet, sweet young woman. It's so, you know, the reality is, Dan, that anytime someone comes on our show and shares their testimony in a French accent, it's going to go well.
I tried to do that and I wasn't able to.
It's always pretty scary when Dan tries the French accent.
I'll start with a French accent, then it turns German, then all of a sudden it's Italian. It just doesn't work.
That's right. Anyway. What a great and a beautiful witness. You know, like I said during Marie's testimony, I think so many times we've been exposed to the narrative that the church in Europe, the church in France is dead or dying. And man, that wasn't our experience when we were there. It's an opportunity for revival, that is so ripe and so ready. And the Lord is moving powerfully in his people. I mean, it's so appropriate to see that even these sites of pilgrimage, even, you know, Medjugorje and Lourdes, that the Lord is continuing to speak through his mama, and through the power of his Holy Spirit. I mean, how many people can say that they went to Medjugorje and received a word from Our Lady that promised baptism of the Holy Spirit? And it's such a powerful word that, you know, the new evangelization is in the heart of Our Lady, and it's in the heart of the Church. And it's alive in France. It's alive in Paris. It's alive in Europe. And, you know, I was moved. I was moved to see the way that the people of Paris, the people of France, are responding to this call of mission.
Yeah. I think too, just like Marie's testimony is so simple at the same time. It's like, when we pray, we should expect to hear God's voice. Yep. And when we pray to Our Lady, we should expect that Our Lady wants to speak to us as well. So sometimes there's these, you know, maybe there's people who have like these extraordinary, like, apparitions, right? Yeah. But I can also pray and hear God's voice every day. And,
and
that's pretty doggone extraordinary that God loves us so much as his children and he gave us his mother, that the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and Our Lady, they want to speak to us in prayer. And it shouldn't be something that's foreign to us. So we can go to the Lord in prayer and hear his voice, and he speaks promises over our lives. And so the difference between, I think, Marie and so many other people is that when she heard the voice, she didn't question it. And she wasn't like, oh, that just is that's just me speaking to myself. Holy Spirit isn't going to move in power in my life. Mm-hmm. And, oh, I'm not going to encounter Jesus. She actually heard the voice of Our Lady speaking to her in prayer, and she believed in faith that the promises made over her life were going to be fulfilled. And because of that, it gave a permission for the Holy Spirit to move, right? And
yeah.
And then it was it's as simple as, okay, I've had an encounter with Jesus. And we see this all the time, I think, Aaron. It's like so many people, when they have an encounter with Jesus, they don't take that next step of finding community to help foster that, right?
Yep.
And just but it's so simple that I've encountered Jesus Christ. Now I need to be around other believers of Jesus who really are going to help me walk in the faith and help that encounter blossom and grow and develop so that I'm living life in Christ. Good friend of ours, Dave Nodar, he's the founder of Christ Life. And I love how he defines through the Christ Life catechesis series, he defines that we need to have three different conversions, right? First, we have a conversion to Jesus Christ as Lord. And that's that initial conversion, that experience where she encountered the Lord through the power of the Holy Spirit, that Jesus became Lord. But then he says a second conversion is that we need to have a conversion to Jesus' lifestyle, that we mm-hmm. need to not just believe that Jesus Christ is Lord and give him our lives, but then our lifestyle has to become like his lifestyle. And that's a conversion that takes place through Christian community, where we learn the lifestyle of Jesus from other Christians living the lifestyle of Jesus, and we grow in maturity through that process. And then he speaks of that third conversion is we need to have a conversion to Jesus's mission, that we need to actually be propelled just from the lordship of Jesus and living the lifestyle of Jesus with daily prayer, Eucharistic lifestyle, like a lifestyle of in the Holy Spirit. But then that moves into the mission that Jesus experiences as well, and that we become missionaries. And you see just in a very simple way in Marie's testimony, and I think that's why the youth are so powerful to learn from, is because, okay, I had this conversion to Jesus as Lord. Now I want to learn how to live my life like others are living their life for Jesus. So I'm going to enter a Christian community that teaches me the lifestyle of Jesus. Oh, and then because I'm living the lifestyle of Jesus, what does Jesus do during his lifestyle? He proclaims the kingdom of God, right? And so mm-hmm. I'm going to start entering into his mission, and I'm going to share my testimony with others, and I'm going to invite people to encounter with Jesus Christ. And it's just simple, and we don't have to complicate it, that like God speaks to us in prayer. He fulfills his promises. I strive to grow in Christian into the Christian lifestyle, and then I go on mission with Jesus. And
amen.
And cool things happen when all those things take place.
Yes. All right. Yeah. So we're gonna take a little break here, and we'll be right back. But more to come on that missionary spirit that I think we saw so evident in Marie's life. And Dan, I think you and I will probably share a little bit more about what we experienced at the Mission Congress, a whole conference focusing the prayer of a whole country around the universal call to mission. And it's so evident there. I don't know, in a large part, probably because it's so necessary. And if there's, you know, if there's one good thing about the current cultural climate, about the hostility that exists toward the church, is that it's created a sense of urgency where our response to our call to mission is so critical at this time and in this place. So once again, we'll catch you on the flip side. You're listening to Beyond Damascus. This is a co-production of St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the global EWTN Catholic Radio Network. We'll see you real soon.
The wisdom of Mother Angelica.
And we need to pray for all our world leaders and all those who are in such danger. See, in a day and age where people are getting further away from God, you get further away from goodness. Only God is good. You remember what our Lord said one day? Why do you call me good? He said, only God is good. Only God.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
In life's darkest moments, don't lose hope. Lift your heart to the God who loves you. In Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement, Father Timothy Gallagher shows you how to find peace amid your struggles. Embrace God's mercy, evade sadness and temptation. Answer this call to hope and solace with Overcoming Spiritual Discouragement, the latest release from EWTN Publishing, now available at EWTNRC.com.
Welcome back to Beyond Damascus, the show where encounter meets mission. Remember, this is a co-production of St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio. I'm Aaron Richards here with Dan Demite, and what an awesome show today. We're focusing on this missionary call.
Yeah, Aaron, I want to go to Romans chapter 11 where Paul says, I ask then, has God rejected his people? Of course not, right? And I think that's where we've got to, like, so often we, like, ask ourselves as we are looking at the current climate of the church, we may be like, man, like, you know, we're talking about France, and it's like, oh, wow, only 4% of Catholics go to Mass every single Sunday in France, or, like, only, like, what is it? Like, I think it's only 27% of Catholics are at Mass on any given Sunday here in America. Like, we may have this, like, this fear of, like, is it like, has God rejected his church, or, like, has why are so many people falling away from the faith? Is the secular world going to win? Like, what's going to happen? And it's that same, these questions have been asked before in salvation history, right? We, like, Paul's like, I ask then, has God rejected his people? And the answer is, of course not.
Like, he didn't then,
and he's not going to today. And I love the response here in Romans 11. It says, for I too am an Israelite, a descendant of Abraham, of the tribe of Benjamin. The Paul, when people are asking, like, has God rejected his people? Is the church falling apart? Is the people of God, like, are they going to fall apart? He says, no, of course God hasn't rejected his people. And I remember who I am, right? He's like, I'm an Israelite. I'm a descendant of Abraham. I'm of the tribe of Benjamin. He says, God has not rejected his people whom he foreknew. Do you not know what the scripture says about Elijah, how he pleads with God against Israel? Lord, they have killed your prophets. They have torn down your altars, and I alone am left, and they're seeking my life. But what is God's response to him? It says in Romans, I have left for myself 7,000 men who have not yet knelt before Baal. So too, at the present time, there is a remnant chosen by grace. And I think that's, like, we need to know who we are, what our story is, what our God has done in the past, and what he's doing today, right? Amen. That the way we can, like, come to understand what God wants to do today and tomorrow is by looking to what God has done in the past. And we have thousands and thousands of years of history, that we have a history book in the Word of God where God has told us his promises, and he has shown us what life is going to look like for his people. And we've seen time and time again where the chosen people of God have fallen prey to the secular world, where they've fallen prey to worshiping idols, they've fallen prey to rejecting the promises of the Father. But in those moments, as Paul says here in Romans, he says, in those moments, the Lord promises us that there's a remnant.
Yeah.
And it's not that, like, when everyone is faithful that the church grows. It's actually when there's a small remnant. That remnant brings the people back to faithfulness to the one true God. And that it's from that remnant that the church growth happens. It's from that remnant that the restoration of culture happens, that the restoration of the people of God happens. And I think that's the time we're in, right? Yeah. That we can see that, yeah, the church is shrinking right now, or people maybe are losing faithfulness in a way that they didn't have before. But, you know, Pope Benedict XVI, he said that, "I prefer a small faithful church than a large unfaithful church." Right?
Yeah, I don't know. I have a tough time with trying to pat ourselves on the back in the midst of a failed mission. Right?
Yeah.
It's like, good job, guys. Here's your participation trophy. You know, look at this another way. That is true, and that is the reality of where we are today. And we need to be realistic. But I think the other reality is, like, even in times of plenty, the church is still a church on mission.
Exactly.
So, you know, I look at it like this, at Damascus, and praise God for his faithfulness. We're enjoying growth like no other youth ministry program I've ever seen. But the mentality that we've adopted is one that, okay, you know, when we are going to live as if we are a people on mission, even though, you know, practically we may have the opportunity to sit back and pat ourselves on the back. Why? Because there's never an excuse to let off the accelerator when it comes to responding to God's call for his faithfulness for his people. And yes, the truth is that like the remnant mentality is a missionary mentality, that we've got to realize that we've been called in this world to respond respond radically to the call that God's given us. And it doesn't matter if we're in a comfortable place. It doesn't matter if we're in an uncomfortable place. It doesn't matter if our family is all happily practicing and living out the life to the fullness. And doesn't, you know, that our missionary response is the same.
Yeah, oh yeah, absolutely, right? God wants 100% of his people to know his love and to encounter his presence. And so until we are a church that has been fulfilled and every single person, every knee, you know, bends and every tongue professes that Jesus Christ is Lord, we have a mission at hand.
Amen.
And there's I think what's so neat, though, is that God says, hey, listen, I've taken a remnant before, and I've brought restoration. And today, I'm promising that even if there's a remnant, I'm going to bring restoration. But the question is, well, what did the remnant do in the past that led to restoration? And how can we become a church that is full and alive again and missionary again? I think if you really just boil down very simply, what do they do? What does a remnant do? They dive deeper into the heart of God, and they dive deeper into mission, right? Yeah. That we have to see ourselves as a people that are called to dive deeper into the heart of God through prayer and faithfulness to the request of the Lord, right? That I'm going to restore faithfulness. I'm going to restore intimacy with the heart of God. And then because I have a restored faithfulness and a restored intimacy, I'm going to make it my life's mission to bring about restoration.
Amen.
I just love, like, I think my favorite book in the Bible is Nehemiah, which is kind of like a weird book in the Bible, like, to have as your favorite. Like, oh yeah, I love that. Just good old Nehemiah, right? But it's just so amazing that, like, Nehemiah was able to, it was at the time right after the Babylonian exile, where person after person, over and over again, for years and years and years, they had tried to rebuild the city of Jerusalem, but they were unable to. And Nehemiah, he was raised up by the Lord in this moment to rebuild the walls around Jerusalem. And in rebuilding the walls around Jerusalem, he was able to restore the culture there, and ultimately the place of God, the house of God. And it, what's so amazing about this book is that Nehemiah, who's a simple, ordinary man, inspires a people to dedicate their lives to rebuilding the walls. And I think the Lord is calling us at this time, not just to dedicate our Sunday afternoons to, you know, the parish school of religion to rebuild the walls. He's saying, are you going to dedicate your lives? Like, the walls have fallen, right? And the enemy is pressing in. We need a people who say, I'm going to give absolutely everything with this missionary impulse and this missionary zeal to say, there's no longer half in, half out. There's no longer 10% of my time, talent, and treasure, that I'm all in to restore the kingdom of God, that I want to build God's kingdom again and build the church like never before. And it's only going to happen if I give everything.
Yeah. Well, and nor was there ever supposed to be.
Exactly.
A time where it was okay for us to step away from conviction. Right?
Yeah. When's the best time to attack an enemy? When they think everything's perfect, right? Yeah. And they've gotten back on their heels.
Oh, this is good. Okay. So, friends, I hope that this message today has been inspiring for you. I hope that, even just in conversation about what it means to experience the call to mission. You know, Dan, you and we were really convicted in our time in Europe. It's just so fascinating seeing, seeing a city like Paris where there are these huge, beautiful cathedrals, a stone's throw from each other, and for the most part, they're no longer an active place of worship, right? They're no longer a place that truly expresses the heart of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But yet, even still, there is a revival of a missionary movement there that says we want our heritage back, that we trust in the promises of God, that we trust in God's faithfulness, and that we're going to continue to say yes, even in the midst of a culture that says no. And I don't know, I presume that, here, you, our listeners, many of us might be in a similar situation that, I'm tempted to give up. I'm tempted to let up. I'm tempted to give in to the challenge, to the frustration, whether it's my family, whether it's my work, whether it's, live in a faithful Christian response in the context of my parish, that God is calling us to see ourselves, whether in a good scenario or a challenging one, as the remnant that he's called, to say yes to him with our whole lives, to live a missionary spirit, to live a missionary call, to live a missionary life, and to realize that we are the ones that God has in mind when he thinks of a strategy to a solution to these difficult times, these difficult circumstances. So, I hope you've been inspired. I wonder if we might just close in prayer with a missionary charge over each one of you, our listeners, and that like Marie shared in her testimony, that we might be empowered through the grace of the Holy Spirit to say yes with a renewed zeal, and to see our lives, to see our places of work, to see our schools, to see our families transformed.
Man, let's just close in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Good and gracious God, you are full of everything we need. You have all the solutions that we are hungry for. You are the Lord, the giver of life. And Lord, I just pray that you would pour out life. You'd pour life out upon our listeners right now. You would fill them with your Holy Spirit. You would allow them to experience the fullness of the life that you promised them, and that you would pour out life upon your people, Lord, that we would experience a full and abundant culture, that we would see a restoration of culture. Lord, I pray for every solution that's needed in the church today, that those solutions would be provided by you, Lord, and that you would reveal them to us in prayer, that you would reveal them to your church, and that we would be faithful and obedient and mm-hmm. pursuing those solutions, Lord, that we would that we would listen to you and obey you and do whatever you ask us to do, and that we would just enter into this world with a missionary impulse like never before.
Amen. Here, Holy Spirit, we pray that you'd come and that you would fill us now. We pray, Mama Mary, that you'd come and you'd wrap your arms, your mantle around us, that you'd keep us safe, that you'd keep our families safe. And we know the promise that wherever you are, wherever Our Lady is, that the Holy Spirit flies there. So Holy Spirit, we pray that you'd come, you'd fill us with your fire, you'd fill us with your call, and that you'd give us the grace and the gifts to be able to respond to you powerfully and confidently and gracefully. We pray it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, Son, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And that wraps up our show for today. Thanks so much for joining us. Once again, this is Beyond Damascus, where Encounter meets Mission. It's a co-production of St. Gabriel Radio and EWTN Radio, and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Feel free to check out our podcast online at Beyond. It's the Beyond Damascus podcast, wherever you download your favorite podcasts. And you can continue to join in and tune us in next week. Once again, thank you for joining us to learn about the missionary spirit.